We want to look at Matthew 4:17 today. I've been using that the last two or three Sundays, but today it's going to be our lead verse. It says, from then on, Jesus began to preach, repent, because the kingdom of heaven has come near. I was reading the writing of a guy named Craig Keener, and he put together a timeline. And the timeline goes like, when Jesus is being baptized in Matthew 3:17, he's commissioned by the Father. The Father says to him, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. Then in chapter 4, verses 3 through 11, we have Jesus being tempted. Again, we're identifying with his 40 days in the wilderness as we practice Lent. We're identifying with his time in the wilderness. So in chapter 4, verses 3 through 11, he's being tempted and tested by the devil. Then the next timeline has John the Baptist, who was the front runner of Jesus. Remember, John the Baptist is the one preparing the way of the Lord. He is completing his ministry. He's being arrested, and we know what happens with John the Baptist. Some say his ministry may have lasted 6 to 8 months, is all that it lasted. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 16, has his public ministry. Again, his ministry begins after his baptism. He's been tempted by the devil. John the Baptist has ended his mission. He's been arrested and then killed. And then we have the public ministry of Jesus, and that leads us to this verse. This is the beginning of his very first sermon. If you ever wondered how Jesus began his very first sermon, this is how he did it. He said, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. He begins with the word repent. To turn, you got to turn. Our mother church, Hillview in Bowling Green, used to have a stock car that raced locally in other states. And they had their logo, their Hillview logo on the front of it. And on the back of it, it had turn or burn. if you know Hillview, you know why I laugh at that. That's just so like them to put that on a car, a stock car. It's repenting is a change of your mind. It's a renewing of our minds that you find in the book of Romans. Listen to this one. It's knowing the rebellion and abandoning it. I don't know that I really have to set you down and tell you what is and is not of the Lord. Really. In our culture, let's just take us folk. I don't know that one-on-one I got to tell you what's of him and what's not. And so repentance means I'm abandoning the ways that I'm rebelling against him. I'm turning. It's a return to God. I pray your Lent season is going well. Remember, it's an increased time of prayer. It's a time of having prayer and devotion, and we're fasting. Anything that we consume that we consider luxurious, and I don't just mean food. It can be social media. It can be a lot of things. It could be television. And then we're practicing generosity. I pray that is absolutely fruitful in your time during the Lent. And we'll talk about those things in just a moment. But repenting here, he begins his first sermon by basically giving an invitation. You need to repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. What he's telling us is that the kingdom of heaven is different than the world. You're never going to find the world's philosophy and the preaching of the kingdom to ever really match. If you just read about it, they don't match. The kingdom is God's rule in us. Therefore, through us, the whole world becomes impacted. To understand the kingdom a little better, it's a new way of life. It's just a new way of living. Listen, when you come to Christ, you're on milk. Paul gives a description that you're a babe. And you're on milk. And then you mature. You don't know everything about the kingdom. when you come to Christ. You don't know all the kingdom principles that he would have us to live under. You're just beginning that journey of learning it. And if I were you and I learned something new, whether it's in a devotion or whether it's a time of teaching or being under preaching, if I were you, I would take that, I didn't know that, and then take that and start applying it in your life. That's what's meant to occur, is little by little, I'm learning. And when I learn something about a kingdom life that I'm not doing, then I begin to start applying that in my life. It's a new set of principles. We're living under a new set of principles of how we respond. And I remind you, as we sing that last song and as we recited the Lord's Prayer, that these set of principles, this way of life, is from God and it's heavenly. It's heavenly. It's the way heaven would want us to live. It's heaven's way of life. It's heaven's way of handling relationships with people. It's heaven's way of doing business, and I mean literal business. I mean transaction. It's heaven's way of you being an employer and an employee. It's heaven's way of getting your priorities in line. It's even heaven's way of finances. I have never seen an earthly financial firm match the promises of God financially. And you've got to learn a whole new way of life when you start living a kingdom life. And again, let me give you a little bit of reprieve here. You're not going to know it all at the beginning, but you search. You search through the Word of God. You let people mentor and disciple you. You're under preaching and teaching all the time. And when you learn something new about the King and His kingdom, then you adapt it into your life. Remember, it's from the Lord, it's from God, and it's from heaven, just as we said in the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So where is this kingdom? Well, I want to tell you, it's not something you can survey that a land surveyor can do. It's not dirt. It's not anything you can find on Google Earth or Google Maps. It's in your hearts. We just sang that with Matt Myers' song, that new one we were teaching you, that it has to do with my heart. It has to do with my action. It has to do with my response. Listen, the world's going to do stuff to you. All right? No one is exempt from the world doing stuff to you. But how you respond determines who you are. We need to respond with a kingdom response. I was in a situation recently, and it all went well. It was good. We love each other deeply, no problem. And I ended the conversation. I just decided to not go any further in it. I could have ended the conversation and won. You understand? What I was going to give back in that conversation would have made me have a one-up on the person. You with me? And a lot of times that's where we want to go, right? I felt the Holy Spirit go, don't say it. Because it's not about me being right. Hello, y'all there? You listening? That the kingdom response was to have no response. Just be quiet. And could I have said it and won? Yeah, I'd have gotten my dig in. And a lot of us going, well, that's the way you need to leave a conversation. Really? That's a worldly way you leave a conversation. Getting your dig in, right? But you have to know when to stop. Because it's not about me being one up on anybody. A kingdom response is not being one up on anyone. And I'm talking to the men in here, right? Mostly my tribe, because we can sometimes live in a realm where we've got to be one up on everybody else. So where is this kingdom? It's in our hearts. I want to remind you something of Scripture. The Lord said to Jeremiah the prophet in the Old Testament, your heart is deceitful. Your heart can be very deceitful and very wicked. I think of things that people do to each other, and I'm going, how do they think that? Well, if you're following a heart that doesn't belong to him, you can find out how people do that. I've got some police officers on the front row here, and there are several in this church. And my brother he's a retired trooper, and I remember my brother saying to me, if you knew what went through your town after midnight, you wouldn't go to sleep. I mean, people do some ungodly things to each other. How does that happen? This is the Lord talking about our hearts to a prophet. He said, the heart is deceitful. It can be incredibly wicked. And in that same declaration to the prophet Jeremiah, he said, I search the hearts of people and I test their minds to see where they are focused. Even Solomon wrote in Proverbs, guard your heart. Guard your heart, because from it comes the wellspring of life. Now let's get to some positive things about the heart. In 2 Chronicles, the Lord says his eyes are to and fro over all the land to find a heart loyal to him. So hearts can be loyal to him. And he's looking for those hearts. In Romans, it says, people are going, is there anything I need to believe when I surrender my life to Christ? Yeah, Romans says that you need to declare that Jesus is Lord of your life and believe that God hath raised him from the dead. Now, why does the resurrection need to be so implanted in my heart? Because the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that saves you. You might live biologically, but if you're without Christ, you are a dead man and a dead woman. And when we're saved, we cross over from death to life. How does that happen? The resurrection power of Christ. We thank you for all of your thinking about Meemaw and Papaw. We had her funeral Tuesday. Julie and I are fine. We're tired, but you all, no tired than many of you all who have gone through the death of a family member. We're worn out, but we're okay. And we celebrate her homegoing. She is safely home. Lawrenceburg, Camelsville, and Grayson County is not her home. She is safely home, and we rejoice in that. But it's the resurrection power of God that sometimes gives you the mother who's tending to the kids and the house and your job and everybody else and a dodo husband sometimes. Amen, guys? I'm getting the guys to say amen, not the women. And what gives you the power to take the next step? It's the resurrection power of Christ. What gets us through a time of loss and grief? It's the resurrection power of Christ. There's a difference in a heart that is governed by the world and a heart that has in it the truth of Jesus and the belief that God has raised him from the dead. For all of us who are believers, the impactful part of our heart is that he has been raised from the dead, he has raised me, and he will one day raise me. If you don't have a new body and you're craving one, just hang on, you're gonna get one. All right, it's gonna happen. No sit-ups. That's what I'm saying. Can you tell the difference in a worldly heart and a heart that has the kingdom of God in it? A heart that has the kingdom of God in it is believing that Jesus is Lord and he has raised him from the dead. A worldly heart, Paul writes about this, hang on with me. A worldly heart has, it's sensual, sexual, depraved at that. It's fleshy. It's thinking about you. All of it's about me. That kind of wisdom is from the world. Paul even says it's demonic. It's a demonic. It influences us. The wisdom of the world is a demonic wisdom. That's why people can do ungodly things to each other. He says all that, but he says our hearts who are believers are different. And if you're a new Christian, you're not expected to know everything. You get some mercy on here, okay? But you grow. You learn from his word. We'll get there in a minute. You learn from being around other believers. You learn from preaching and teaching. And you learn from the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And one day you leave milk and you start living off of meat. You start maturing in the Lord. So our hearts is where the kingdom of God is. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. I said, he has rescued us from the domain of darkness, which would be a worldly wisdom, right? Okay. And transferred us, you, that's where the kingdom of God is, you, into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. We're going to handle this verse later on, another Sunday, a little deeper. But do you see the switch? My heart is no longer under the domain of darkness. It can be deceitful and wicked. But it is now under, it has the kingdom of God in it. Jesus is Lord, and I believe that he has been raised from the dead. I want you to look at Colossians 3, 14 through 17. And we're going to walk through this. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity. Listen, I love people that I don't agree with. Okay, I love them, but loving them doesn't mean I have to agree with a particular way of life or a belief. I just know they need to know that God loves them and that I love them. It's not hating people who are not living right. It's I love people, but my loving people doesn't mean that I applaud what's going on in their life. They're just going to know that I love them, and I love them with the love of Christ. The perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of the Messiah, Christ, to which you were also called in one body, control your, say it, church, what does it say there? Control your, boy, that's lame. You'd have to run laps at recess if I were your teacher, okay? Control your hearts. That's where the kingdom is. It controls our hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about Christ, the Messiah, dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and we're talking about heavenly wisdom here, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude into your thank you to God, and whatever you do. See, this is a kingdom response right here. Whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Even the way you earn your money, you got to work for whomever you work for, right? But you need to go a step higher than that. You need to act like you're working for the Lord. Whatever you do, as kingdom people do this. Yes, I work for my employer or any type of employment. I do that. Those who are over me. But I'm doing the work as if I'm working for the Lord. Kingdom, that's a kingdom way to be able to see that. How do you maintain this heart? If my heart has the kingdom of God in there, it's kind of like doing the service work on your truck or your car. If you want it to go the distance, you're going to have to maintain your vehicle. So what do I do? Look at Psalm 119, 9 through 12. How can a young man keep his way pure? Now I'm gonna stop over here and preach a little bit, all right? Even people who say they love the Lord, they'll go, well, when my boy or my girl gets in that 14 to 17 year range or maybe, and they're gonna sow their wild oats, I'm just gonna make sure they're safe while they're doing it, okay? That is worldly wisdom. That is not the intent of the Lord. Listen, we had so many principles at the Eaton House. Our kids could never be alone in our house with whomever they were dating, ever. Now, y'all looking at me, does that sound mean? I don't really care if you think it's mean or not. That's not your daughter. It's not your son. I remember Laura be on a date. Julie and I would be out doing something, and they got home a little early. Laura would call us on the cell phone. Mom, Dad, where are you? Well, we're out so-and-so. Actually, we'd be within about 5 minutes of the house. And she goes, well, y'all come on. Y'all head on here because we can't go in the house. She had her date. We can't go in the house till y'all show up. I drove for another 45 minutes. I was going to make that boy sweat. Do you know what I'm saying? Wait. Let me just quit thinking. It's a worldly thought if you're thinking, my children have to sow their wild oats. Folks, we have let some of our children sow their wild oats, and it hurt their entire future. You with me?
Yes, sir.
It's not what you do. Look at this. This is a kingdom way to handle this. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping your word. Keeping your word. Meaning scripture. I have sought you with all my heart. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have treasured your word in my, where?
Heart.
Oh, goodness, imagine that. In my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Lord, may you be praised. Teach me your statutes. So how do I maintain my heart to be a kingdom heart? I do it through the word of God. And we want the word of God to dwell in you. That's discipleship. We want the word of God to be in you. We want it to be in you so that it can maintain your life and put you in a place where you, a structure that you live a kingdom life into. Look at Psalm 119:105 for just a moment. Your word is a lamp to my feet. Their little lamps would have oil in them, and those little lamps would only light for the next step, and that's the point here. Your word is a lamp for my next steps. What do I do next? And a light on my path. The bigger lamps cast a bigger light. So what do? I use his word to determine what my next steps are, and then if I let him lead my next steps, then his light is going to handle my whole journey of my life. That's what Lent is supposed to do with you. Lent is arranged for more praying and devotion. It's arranged so that you will be fasting because we're consumers. Do you understand that America, listen to me, consumes 80% of the world's goods, just our country alone. Okay? Our nation is a consuming nation. We're used to it being about us. In an incredible way. So we let God's word, we want you in the word, we want the word in you. We want it in you because of what it does. It helps maintain that heart to be a kingdom heart, and it directs your paths. If you want a better picture, Galatians 5:22-23 is a bigger picture. It is the fruit of the Spirit. Don't say fruits because it's not plural, it's singular. Meaning, I know there's a listing there, and you're thinking because there's a listing there that the word is plural, it's singular. Meaning, this is the fruit that the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, lives in our life. And this is it. If you want to know what a kingdom life looks like, this is it. And you're going, well, heck, preacher, I'm gonna try to get half of those. That's not the goal. It's not how many of these do you want to do. It's if you live in the fruit of the Spirit, this is who you are. Love, a person of joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness. Self-control. Against such things there is no law. If you don't understand that last little thing, it's not a policy here. This is not a policy that you keep. This is what a kingdom heart looks like. And my goodness, do we need this. And how do we maintain it? I've told you that we maintain it with the Lord and his word. Look at Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness. Doing the right thing. Just do the right thing. It's not that hard. When the world gets in your face, respond to it with a kingdom response. There's great power in that. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It becomes incredible. Look at 1 Corinthians 4:20, another verse we'll handle in our series, but I want to bring it up today. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk. And don't we just chat about everything? Goodness gracious. Seriously, I mean, we'll have conferences and seminars and Zoom meetings and everything else, and instead of dealing with it, we just talk about it all the time. And the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. It's supernatural. It's supernatural power. It's unbelievable to a world, but believable to the person who has a kingdom heart. I want to show you something else about a kingdom life for just a moment, just to be practical and help you see some things. When I deal with men in leadership in their family, we can have a worldly attitude of, I'm the guy, you know, and I'm the head of the household, and, you know, it's just rah, 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 right? You know, I'm leading this. Guys, listen, let me tell you something. Listen to me, men, are you listening? We never lead our families from the first position, from the number one position. There's only one who has a number one position in our life, and that's the Lord. So let me just take my family. There's the Lord, and then there's Julie. And then there's Andrew and Laura. And then there's me. I'm in fifth place, okay? Fifth place. And some of you guys are going, well, I'm number one in my family. I just want you to know the joke's on you, okay? It's not. I've got to learn to lead from fifth place. Y'all with me? All right, now Andrew's married. There's Maria. There's our granddaughters, Charlotte and Gwen. Now, I'm in eighth place. I'm in eighth place, and I lead our family from eighth place. And some of us have trouble in our marriage because we struggle for the first place. And there's only one person who has the first place, and that's Jesus. I've got to love Jesus more than I love Julie, and I love Julie. I'll just go ahead and tell you, I still whistle at her. We're 62 and 61. I still whistle at her all the time. She goes, quit that, and I know she doesn't mean it. I know she doesn't mean it, right? Okay, here's the kingdom. He says, if you want to be first in the kingdom, come on, you got to be last, right? If you want to be first in the kingdom, kingdom people choose last all the time. That's how you become first in the kingdom. We choose last. That's what we do. And men, we lead our families from the very last position. And let me tell you, you'll lead your family better there than you will trying to capture the first place. You and Jesus trying to battle for the first place, you're not going to win. The Lord is preeminent in our lives. When we're saved in that Romans chapter, he's Lord. Jesus is Lord, and I believe that God has raised him from the dead. So I've got to learn to lead from now, with Andrew being married and our granddaughters, I lead from last place. I've gone from 5 to 8. I've moved down the slot. Do you see that? Here's kingdom, all right? So Jesus said that my people will love your neighbor like you love you.
No, sir.
No. It's love the neighbor as you love yourself. So you've got to love your neighbor like you love you. How many of us really do that? You know what? You know why? We raise ourselves to the number one place. And it's about me. It's what can we do with me? Listen, I'm all for the Asbury revival. I'm all for every bit of it. A lot of people in your church have led in that revival. And when I say led, prayer teams, leading worship, all kinds of things. It's wonderful. I've loved their leadership. They closed it out Thursday. You're going, man, that may be awful. I think it's the right thing to do because their attitude is we can't stay gathered. We have to go. And so they commissioned them and sent them out, which is what apostolic means. It means we send people out. And I just loved it. Christian contemporary artist, celebrity worship leaders have called saying, I'll bring my bus and we'll lead worship. They turned every one of them down. I like that. Christian pastors, celebrity pastors, I'll come and preach a time there. They said no. They said no. We're not going to do that. And really, when they introduce people, they only introduce them by their first name, never their last. I like that. But there was a time it got to sending, and I'm all for it. Some of you went, I told you to go. I'm all for it. But listen, what happened there collectively can happen to you personally. And it won't be any different. Because when you let the kingdom of God come into your heart, it's a new way of life. It's a new set of principles. I seek the Lord before I seek anything else. I want the wisdom of heaven. I don't want the wisdom of this world. I want the wisdom of heaven. It continues on and on and on. It's just like another kingdom picture. It says for us to hold people higher than we hold ourselves. I had one man ask me one day, do you have the answer to racism? And I said, I think I do. And he just looked at me like, you know, well, who are you? And he goes, well, where do you get it? I said, I get it from Scripture. And they said, well, what is it? I said, it tells me to respect other people and to think of other people higher than I do myself. I think that would abolish racism. I don't look at the color of skin or whatever. I just go, I need to hold you higher than I'll hold me. I think it'll get rid of it if we would only just be able to do that. Do you see those little snippets of kingdom life, of what it looks like? Men, quit trying to lead your families from number one place. That's only meant for the Lord. That's never meant for you. But in my life, I've got to lead from number eight spot, and I can. And it becomes more beautiful. Man, are y'all with me? Y'all looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. Are you all with me? You hear that?
Yes.
Quit battling for number one place. Like in Julie's life, somebody asked me, is she the love of your life? I said, I hope not. I want Jesus to be the love of Julie's life. Because if Julie loves Jesus the right way, she's going to love Jeff the right way. And if I love Jesus the right way, I'm going to love Julie the right way. You guys, listen, everything's wrapped around us. It's around me, me, me. And it's got to be others and him. And you're going to see a beautiful life, an incredible life. I've got more sermon than you got time. You hear me? But listen, it's something I want you to pick up on. Let's go back to Matthew 4:17. In Matthew 4:17, he says, repent because the kingdom of heaven has come near. And here's what's beautiful about the kingdom of heaven has come near. If the kingdom of heaven has come near, it means that the king is here too. I love last Sunday, I love this song, but we played it called The King is in the Room. Some of the songs we've handled today, that he is king of our life. Listen, announce today that he is Lord of you. He is Lord of me, and he is Lord of all. Praise his holy name. We're going to sing a song in our invitation that really is our prayer, and it's the confession of our faith. And I want you to sing it. I want you to sing it loud, okay? Sing it as your prayer and sing it as your confession to the Lord of how much we believe in him. The invitation is for you to come. Listen, if you're here, you've never come to Christ, there'll be people in the altar that'll pray with you, help you in that step of surrender. If you're here, you need personal prayer for guidance and direction. Come, let them pray with you. It's okay. If you're here and you're sick and you're physically sick and there's disease, come, let our people pray over you to the Father and ask the Father to bring health and restoration to you. You come, okay? Don't be ashamed to come. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you come? Steve, you get down here, and others, make sure we got enough counselors here in the altar. You come. And listen, we're going to sing this. This is our prayer. This is our confession. And during that time, let it also be a time that you're blessed and you're prayed for as we pray for you to the Father. Let me pray over you. Father, I pray over our people. Decisions are to be made and decisions have been made. I just pray for courage, Lord, for people to follow you in this day and to surrender their life to you. Take our worldly, our old earthly hearts, Lord, and make them yours and implant your kingdom. You are Lord, and we believe that God has raised you from the dead, that you are our resurrected Savior, and we celebrate you today. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen.